You know, every one of us ought to be people that count our blessings every day. Sometimes we sing about it, sometimes we talk about it, but rarely do people ever really count their blessings. How often do you count your blessings? I know we say, oh yeah, I count my blessings every day, but have you ever really sat down to actually count your blessings? I believe it is something that every person ought to do in his life. This coming Thursday will be Thanksgiving, and so we wish for all of you a happy Thanksgiving. I believe that God intended for us to be people that are thankful every day. Let me ask you a question this morning. Which line do you stand in? When you stop and think about Thanksgiving, which line do you stand in most of all? Do you stand in the complaint line? Or do you stand in the gratitude line? Do you know that many of us are people that complain about a lot of little things? Someone said a moment ago that in our Bible class that people go through life, what we call nitpicking. We pick the flaws in everybody else. And we're always picking about a lot of little things that go on in the lives of other people. We ought to be a people that are grateful and express our gratitude every day. This coming Thursday, you'll have an opportunity to sit down with your family, hopefully, and be able to share in what we call the traditional Thanksgiving meal. I hope at that time that you will really stop and count your blessings and think about the wonderful things that God has given unto you. He has given you so much. Don't think about what you do not have, but think about what you do have. Think about the fact that God has blessed you richly this year in 2014. We ought to be people that give thanks in everything, according to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Now stop and think about that statement just a moment. In whatever situation you find yourself, he didn't say for everything. Now that doesn't negate the fact that you and I ought to be grateful for all things. But he says in everything, wherever you are, be thankful unto God. And then in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says in everything by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be thankful. Be grateful. You know, sometimes people take for granted their next meal. I hope you have a great meal on Thursday. Phyllis Diller said that her cooking was so bad that her children thought they were commemorating Pearl Harbor. Well, that's pretty bad. But you know, we have a lot of great cooks in this church, and I'm persuaded you're going to delight in a wonderful, wonderful meal. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about how to move from being ungrateful to being thankful, based upon the book of Psalms, the 16th chapter. And we're going to read a few passages of Scripture, and so you can shift your eyes up here if you like, or you can read out of your Bible. In the book of Psalms, chapter 16, David said, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all of my delight. Their sorrows, he says, their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after other gods. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. The lions are fallen unto me in the pleasant places, yet I have the goodly things. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons, he said. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, he said, and my glory rejoices, for my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol or in the grave, for you will allow your Holy One, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption, but you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. When I think of gratitude, there are a number of things that come to my mind. One of them is this: if you are not grateful, you are not rich. No matter how much money you have. You know, we always talk about those who are rich in this life. We always talk about people that have a lot of money. But did you realize if you do not thank God every day for what you have, no matter how much you have, you are not rich toward God, according to the book of Luke, chapter 12. You are grateful. If you are grateful, you are rich no matter how little you have. There was a young man that came to Jesus one time and talking about a number of things. One of them was, how do I get into heaven? How do I see life? How do I get into the kingdom? And Jesus, in that story, goes on to say that those who are rich toward God are those who are actually rich. Now, the real difference is between those who are aware of the love of the Father and those who are unaware. The person aware of God's love is thankful. And the byproduct of thankfulness is joy. You know, I like to see people that are happy. And I have learned that people that are happy in life and joyful are the people that have a lot of deep gratitude within their soul and within their spirit. And they have come to love God. For 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says that we love Him because He first loved us. Do you realize that we are not joyful and then become grateful? For the book of Philippians chapter 4 reverses that. He says that, listen to this, that we are joyful, all right, because we are grateful people. We are grateful, and that makes all of us joyful. There are three things that I want to share with you this morning that I really believe that you can do these three things to maintain a thankful attitude and a grateful heart. Let me share them with you quickly this morning. Number one, I believe that you and I ought to acknowledge that God is the source of all good things in your life. You have never achieved anything on your own. Sometimes people look at other people and say, well, boy, you really have been successful in life and you've achieved a lot of things. And we never really give God credit. But do you realize that all that you are today and all that you ever hope to be is because of a loving God who stands with you, beside you, behind you, and out in front of you? So we have to acknowledge that all the good things that we possess this morning come from a loving God. David said that we are to preserve me, O God, for in you, he said, do I put my trust. Where is your trust this morning? Is it in the world? Is it in the riches of this world? Or is it in God? He said, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. That's why I said that, you know, if we leave God out of our lives, we are a failure indeed. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all of my delight. Now, I know that everything that we have today comes from God, because the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where did he come from? He came from God. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You and I ought to be a people that express appreciation to God. We can thank God every day. not just for the spiritual blessings, and those are important, and Paul said that they're all in Christ also in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. But we need to thank God for the material blessings that you have. And you have many when you stop and think about it. You had clothes to put on this morning when you got up. You had an automobile to drive, or you had a means by which you got to this building. You have a house in which you live. You have a bed where you're going to lay your head tonight. Think about all the many material blessings that you have. But we have sociological blessings as well. Think about all the friends that we have. You know what? I think about so many friends that I have in this life and in Palestine. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for them every day. Have you ever thought about how miserable life would be without friends? But we have relational blessings as well with our family. You have a loving family. God has blessed you, and how thankful you ought to be. Every good thing is a gift from Almighty God. We need to exercise to develop a grateful spirit. Tomorrow morning, the Lord willing, you will arise from your night's sleep. In the first hour after you rise from your sleep, I want you to make a list of at least 100 things that you are thankful for. You know what? Any one of us could do that. We could. Now, some people say, oh, you know, 100 things. You know, how in the world would I be able to list 100 things? Folks, let me tell you something. If you cannot list 100 things for which you are thankful, you are overlooking your blessings. Our focus cannot be on what we do not have or on someone who has it better than we do. Our focus must be on the good things of life that we do have that God has given us, for every good thing, as I said, comes down from God. Our focus cannot be upon what we do not have again or who has it better than we do. But our focus, and I'm going to tell you something. If your focus is really upon God and on your blessings, you'll be able to write many, many more than 100. But there's a second thing you need to do. Not only recognize that all these great blessings come from God, but acknowledge the many pleasant places. And that's that expression that David uses in that text, and I think it's an interesting one. Acknowledge the many pleasant places that the Lord has given you. Listen to what he says in verse 4. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after other gods. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lip. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance, my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places, and I have a good inheritance. I like Psalms 55 and verse 22 that says, cast your burden on the Lord, for he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. You know, we go through life sometimes carrying heavy burdens, and God wants us to move away from those heavy burdens to a pleasant place. He does. Anyone's life can be a tale of tragedy or victory. Do you know you determine that? I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't really have any control over my life. Wrong. You have control over your life. Whether you are going to be a victor or whether you're going to be a victim of the tragedy that comes as a result of your own undoing. God has put you in a lot of places. But thirdly, we need to anticipate the better days ahead. You know, sometimes I get amazed sometimes at people who say, well, you know what? All the good days of America are over. We'll never, ever enjoy a measure of goodness in this country again. Wrong. People are pessimistic in life. I believe that the best days are yet to come. David said, I will bless the Lord. David felt that way. He said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and I will not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Listen to what David is saying. He's saying better days are yet to come. We've been living in a dismal time. I understand that. But I'm telling you, our country is turning around. And I believe that with the help of God, you're going to see this country renewed. And we're going to restore those great values that made this country what God intended for it to be. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I for one am very optimistic. And I believe that every Christian ought to be. David says, for you will not leave my soul in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. We must be very careful, however, not to let success go to our head. That's true. But never let failure go to your heart. There are times when we all fail. There are times when we make mistakes. But David understood that God is a forgiving God. And he knew that better days lay ahead for him. And by the way, if you go back and look at the history of King David, they did. They did. Our hope serves as a great anchor of the soul. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, that's what the Apostle Paul writes. We should always remember that better days are ahead, if not in this life. I'm going to tell you, folks, better days are ahead for those who are in Christ, because we will share in the glory and the beauty of that eternal home. You know what? Sometimes it's easy to get dismal when things happen in our life. But let me share with you something else. Do you know that when sometimes, listen to this, when things are falling apart, they may just be falling into place. That's something that you have to remember. And a setback is always a setup for a comeback. That is something we all ought to remember. For whatever you're going through in your life, as a Christian, God is using that to bring about good in your life. I like the book of Romans 8:28, where it says, we know. Paul didn't say, I think, or for some it works, but he said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. One man made the statement one time. He said, I'm thankful for my struggle, because without it, I would have not stumbled across my strength. You know what? Sometimes people think they can't do certain things. You ever heard people say, well, I'm just not going to be able to make it through this crisis. Yes, you can. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I like what he says in the book of Romans 8 and verse 31. He said, if God is for us, who can be against us? In Psalm 73 and 6, David said, my health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. That's why I'm grateful this morning. I'm grateful for every gift of God. I'm glad that he's put me in pleasant places. And I'm so grateful and thankful that I can anticipate better days ahead. The Apostle Paul uttered these words and penned them, by the way, in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has ever conceived the glory that God shall reveal in us and what God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? So we have to anticipate those better days ahead. In Psalms 23 and verse 6, we quote it often, but do we really believe it? David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Go back and listen to what he says. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That sound like a man who was grateful? That sound like a man who anticipated better days ahead? Does to me. Psalms 48 and verse 14, he said, "For this is God, our God forever and forever, and he will be our God even until death." Psalms 85 and verse 12, "Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase." You know, God opens many doors to us every day. You ever thought about it? How many doors of opportunity are open to you as a Christian? Every day, God opens doors, all of them. And sometimes we end up walking through the wrong door. But we ought to walk through the right door, and I can tell you most assuredly, there are many opportunities that are presented to us by the world. And sometimes we walk through those doors. But the greatest door that you will ever walk through is the door of Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the door." Not a door, but the door. The door to life eternal. And you know what? Jesus opened the door to salvation. And I walked through it a long time ago. And there have been some doors that I walked through that I'm remorseful over. But not this one. Never have been, never will. This is the greatest door of my life. It is true. Every good thing is a gift from Him. Every pleasant place is a gift from Him. And every hope for the future is a gift from Him. How about you this morning? How grateful are you? And you know, it's not so much how we see ourselves. How do other people see us? How does your husband see you? How does your wife see you? How do your children see you? How do your parents see you? Do they see you standing in that line with complaints more than they see you standing in the line of gratitude? How often do you express it? How often do you tell God and tell one another? You know what? It's like love, isn't it? If you love someone, you need to tell them you love them. And if you're grateful to them and for them, and if you really appreciate them and you're thankful for them, then you need to express it, folks. David said in Psalms 84 and verse 11, this is one of the greatest passages in all the Bible. He says, "No good thing," now think about this, "no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly." You know what? If God is withholding some things from you right now that you feel like you ought to have, then maybe it's because you're not walking uprightly. Because it's a promise, folks. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. For Psalms 37 and 23 says that He will establish us. And that in the book of Hebrews 12 and verse 2, we need to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And these are promises of God, not to everyone, but to the Christian. That's why it's so important for us to be in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you in Christ? Are you in Jesus? You know, the Bible says that when we get into Christ, we experience a new creation. That's a gift from God. The fact that when we get into the waters of baptism, we're raised out of that water, that we can become a new person, cleansed of our sin, having that hope of heaven. You know, in Christ, I am accepted and I belong. You know, one thing that people want more than anything else in this life is to be accepted and to belong. And I'm going to tell you, when you become a Christian, you're accepted of God. And you belong not only to Him, but to His church family. In Christ, I am not only accepted, but I am secure. And I am significant in the eyes of God. Jesus wants us to obey Him. He does. You see, to love the Word of God is to really yield to it and to become obedient to it. For Jesus, in the 14th chapter of the book of John, said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You see, in prosperity, God tests our gratitude. He does. Because, you know, when people have a lot of blessings in this life, they begin to think that all their blessings come from them. They worked for it. They earned it. They achieved it. Wrong. That's why God tests our gratitude in prosperity. But in poverty, He tests our contentment. In darkness, He tests our faith. It's what David said, wasn't it? In the dark hours. And at all times, He tests our obedience. Our gratitude is seen in our obedience unto Christ. It is true. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your spiritual DNA? What is it? You know, everybody has a significant, unique, only one of a kind DNA. Set a lot of folks free from prison. Sent a lot of folks to prison. It will send a lot of people to heaven, spiritually speaking. And your spiritual DNA might send you to hell. Could. What is your spiritual identity this morning? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? I know one thing, you're not ready to be lifted up until you are ready to go under. We all want to go to heaven. We all want God to lift us up and bring us to Himself. But only until one is ready to go under the water of baptism is he ready to be lifted up and to go to heaven. Sometimes in an audience like this, there are those who come out of curiosity. There are those who come seeking the Word of God to find out how to be saved. And that's why at the end of a gospel sermon, we always make that available unto you to tell you how to become a Christian. How you can enjoy these blessings that we've been talking about here this morning. How you can anticipate better days. And if you want the Lord to put you in pleasant places, you've got to be His child. And Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It's pretty simple, isn't it? That's what He said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You may be floundering through life right now as I speak. In your heart of hearts, you know you have no really spiritual direction in your life. Let me ask you a question. How long will you travel down that road? Don't you think it's time to really let God direct your path? Don't you think it's time to say, God, you've been so good to me. I really am thankful and I really am grateful, and I want to show you how grateful I am by surrendering my life unto you to become a Christian. And Father, I've sinned against you as your child. Would it be time maybe this morning for you to acknowledge that and just say, Lord, I've been weak. I haven't really been grateful. I've just been plundering through life and not even considering the great blessings that you give to me. I've just taken them for granted. Wouldn't it be a good time this morning for spiritual renewal in your life and to obey the Father while we stand and while we sing? I am